It was gospel chapter number 4, and I'm going to preach what the Lord gave me tonight. I've kind of struggled on which way to go. Bounced back and forth between here and the 23rd Psalm, but heard all the talk about young people, and I believe this is the place that God would want me to be at tonight. Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 1. If you're there, just say amen. Amen. Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says this: "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, of the place where the priest's foot stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones?" If you would, look over in verse number 19 real quick. The Bible says, "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in the time to come, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." I'm interested tonight in verse number 21, where the question is asked right here: what mean these stones? Lord, I love you tonight more than I love anything else in this world. And Father, I pray tonight as I stand, Lord God, behind your sacred desk for the next few minutes, God, I would not stand here alone. Father, I pray you would remove all flesh up out of the way. Lord God, allow me, Lord God, to preach in the power, Lord God of God. Father, I pray if there be one lost in our midst tonight, Lord God, you'd save them. If there will be one discouraged tonight, Lord God, you'd encourage them. If there be one walking wayward, Lord God, tonight you would find them and bring them back. Now, Lord, speak to my heart now as I speak to the heart of your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you study the Bible right here, you'll notice that this is the day the children of Israel have pretty much been looking for their whole life. For 40 years, they have made some mistakes and they were condemned to the wilderness. I mean, my friend, it was a hard, hard life that they had over there in the wilderness. And God sent out 12 spies and he said, "Go take the land. I mean, I'm going to fight for you. Just go over there and possess it." But they got scared like we do a lot of times, and they backed up and said, "God, the battle's too big. God, the battle's too rough. I think we'll just stay back here and we'll just get what you got. We cannot conquer that land because it's too big for us." Can I say, I look around our country today and they say we can't conquer things, but I see little trailer parks like down the road, and I see little housing projects down the road, and I see them kids dying and going to hell. And you know what goes through my heart? That we can conquer those lands by giving them the gospel, that we can conquer those things, that we can put something new in those kids and let them have some hope when they have no hope. But just like the children of Israel that day, they were staying in the wilderness and they were out there. And I'm telling you, my friend, they suffered from dehydration. I mean, they suffered from hunger. They was constantly in a battle and in a war. And God said, "I don't want it to be that way. I want you to go across there and possess the land." unto you. Now I find that it would have been a hopeless and a helpless situation. I remember when I was working with autotrader.com, they would take me to them big fancy restaurants. And I'll never forget, they'd bring out a plate, it was about this big. And on that plate, they'd have me a little piece of chicken about this big, two little pieces of broccoli, and an edible flower. Now I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what in the name of the world am I going to do with this? I mean, you charge me $35 for the plate, and it's not even going to fill me up. A Twinkie would do me better than that. And I got to thinking, my goodness, you paid all of that money, you gave me this little meal. I say, pull me up to a Golden Corral buffet. I mean, where I can get mashed potatoes and gravy. I can get green beans and fried chicken and eat all I want. I'm saying tonight, you can make a life in the wilderness if you want to. You can live out there in the world, but it'll be a helpless life. It'll be a helpless life. You won't like what the results are going to be. And that's not the intent of God for His children. And God gave them a plan that day. He said, boys, you suffered long enough. We're going across, but I want to set some things back so when the children come across, they'll know what mom and daddy went through and what drove them to get here. If there's something today we need to have a burden for this next generation. I mean, they're trying to take the Bible out as we look. Our public school system, you might as well like it or not. I was watching Fox News the other night, and they've got a whole new big article talking about how Muhammad is God and the Islam faith is divine. We're getting more and more and seeing our children slip further and further and further and further away. Can I say what we have an absence of? It's not an absence of knowledge. It's not an absence of material. It's an absence of old time religion where that they can get in touch and get in tune and get help with God right there. And now as they stand on them banks of Jordan, them 12 stones come out there. I can see them, Brother Frank, now as they start picking up these stones. And I believe they'll lay one about right here. And they'll take another one and lay it right here. And another one and lay it right here. And I can see that little old pile of stones there that's heaped and piled up. And I can see them as they walk by. And their mind goes back to Egypt. How God brought them out. How God had been good to them. I believe I can see Caleb walk by and say, God, you told me I could have that mountain. I'm not going to quit till I can possess that mountain. I believe Joshua walked by, said, God, thank you for bringing us here. I knew you'd do it. God, I've never quit trust you. I've never lost faith and hope of you. And I can see a few years go by. They get kind of comfortable being over there in the promised land. And I can see as they walk by, it just don't mean the same, or it just don't have the same effect that it used to have anymore. But I can see one day there's an old man just sitting there upon them stones. Boy, there's tears just streaming down his face. He'd sit there and rub them stones, and you can just see it, and oh, he's in hurt and heartache and pain. And I can see some little boys kind of walk by and look at him. Say, sir, you okay? He said, oh, yeah, son, I'm doing just fine. I see that other little boy say, well, what you crying for? What you upset about, sir? Is there anything we can do to help you? He said, boys, you don't understand what these stones mean in our lives. And I see them little boys' curiosity get perked up, and they say, sir, well, I mean, it just looks like a big pile of rocks. It just looks like a big pile of rubbish. Is there really something important about these stones that you're setting on? I can see the tension start perking up. He can say, oh, yeah. Boys, this is more than you can imagine. It's probably going to be more than you can handle. There's a deeper meaning right here tonight to these stones. I think that little kid, like all the kids, said, sir, what does it mean? I think his mind kind of perked up, and he said, kid, let me tell you, God's always got a name. He said, one day way back in Egypt, we were locked up in bondage, and we were locked up in slavery, and I mean, we tried our best, and we did the best we could, and we tried real, real, real hard, but every single time we felt like we were making some leeway, that we might be getting out. I mean, they dug more on us, and they put more on us than we can stand, and it got bigger, and it got harder, and we couldn't bear it. We didn't know what we were going to do. Our children were born in this, and we wanted something better for them. He said, but one day, oh, the man of God named Moses had stood up for us many years ago, come walking right back in the camp. And I
poem, that footstep poem and everything. Brother Willard wrote that poem, just kind of let you know who he was. He had a brother named Edgar Thomas, and they said Edgar would get in the hotel room and start praying and begging God to touch and help and just bring revival to an area. And they said people would start knocking on the door, saying, "Can you ask that preacher to pray for me? I need to be saved." And I was sitting there that day with the whole Brother Willard, and me and him was talking back and forth, and he said, "Jeff, my brother was the most powerful man I believe in America at one time." I mean, they said, "Brother Franklin, he would say there's three lost in the congregation, you point out those three, and they'd usually be lost. Somebody would get up and say, 'God's going to kill somebody today.' He'd say, 'You show me who he is, you say I ain't.'" And I'm talking about powerful man of God. I remember looking at Brother Will, and I said, "Well, what did your brother have?" He said, "Brother Jeff, 10 years I had." 10 years I begged him, saying, "Brother, tell me what it is that you've got that allows you to have that power of God." He said, "For 10 years he never would tell me." He said, finally looks at him one day and says, "You're not going to quit loving me, are you?" He said, "No." He said, "I'll tell you what it is." He said, "Brother Willard, the Old Testament, the promise of prosperity, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and God was correct." He said, "But the New Testament, after you get saved, you've got one promise. That is suffering." Listen, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we want the power of God and the touch of God in our life and God to do something with us. But we want to do it on our terms, not on His. And God will put a man through agonizing and hard situations sometimes, just so he can help certain people get through those other times that they need.
Yes.
And Moses, he sits out there on that backside of the wilderness wondering, "What is God doing with me out here? Why am I here? God, I stood up for you. God, I did right. And now I'm miserable and I hate where I'm at." But you know what he's doing? He's preparing you one day. Right. He's preparing one day so they can direct the people to where they need to go. And can I say if it wouldn't have been for the backside of the wilderness, Moses never would have been able to get God's children to the point where they could have got up out of Egypt.
Right.
And I remember J. Harold Smith, and I love that message, "God's Created." And old J. Harold Smith was probably one of the most powerful men of God in America. I remember you telling me, Brother Frank, when he preached that at your Bible college, how for hours they stayed around and dealt with people. Now, I didn't know this till the other day. They said that he's going down the road, he's preaching a Bible one night. He said, "God, I'd like to win 1 million people to the Lord." He said, "The Holy Ghost said, 'Are you serious, Brother?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "All right, we'll find out soon, Lord." He said, "He goes and he preaches that revival that night. He gets done preaching his revival, and he gets back in the car that night. He's driving back home and said things went well. And he said, the next night he goes back to the revival. He said, one gets saved, and the Holy Ghost said, 'We're going to see how serious you are.'" Soon he walks back to the hotel. His wife's on the other end. He said, "Jake, I've got to be home." He said, "Baby, I'm preaching revival. Why do I have to be home?" She said, "You know your son?" "Yes." She said, "You know the woman all that brings his life?" "Yes." "That new gas that you got, really flammable and really exposed to your son's flame to a match up there. He's called fire and burn death, he will face it." And Jay Harold gets in his car. Only those people signs that he's still serious.
I mean, he's still serious about it. I'm not saying God will make you suffer, but God's going to find somebody that will suffer through it.
Old Jay Harold said, "Yeah, I'm still serious." Said he gets to the hotel, gets to the hospital right there. Walks in, that lady said, "Sir, you can't go in." He said, "I preach across this country. God's grace is sufficient. I'm going to see my home." Walks in that flame charred body. Head the size of a basketball. He gets the phone for his son. And his son says, "Daddy, that's you. This is my son." Hold his tears back. He looked his tears at that charred body, bringing great pain. He said, "Can I see you? Saw me after you ready to die?" And Harold said, "Son, are you getting ready to do it for me?" He said, "Let me see. have stopped right here, and as far as we'd have got in the Bible was the Genesis. We never would have even had Joshua. We'd have got to Genesis about chapter number 9 and 10, and it would have been over right there.
And here comes the man. Again, there, this little finger pointed in his face. He says, "Let my people go.
Let them go." He knew he was going through a death threat and a death sentence, but his finger's still in the face, saying, "You're going to let my people go. I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm not worried about popularity. I'm going to do what God's called me to do."
Amen.
If you're going to live a Christian life the day and age we live in, forget popular opinion. Public opinion, right or out, do away with her. Our president don't want you to do it. Our country's not real fond about it anymore. You better be willing to get ready to stand when nobody else is wanting to stand. But I'm telling you today, when you stand, God will stand with you and stand with you and not leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be right there.
Amen. I can see him looking and say, "Oh, you mean he suffered all that so me and I could have something and so that I could go through these things and I could be able to have this abundant Christian life?" I don't know your husband. I imagine when y'all started this church way back then, he went through some hard times and some rough times. But I bet if he would see it here today, he could say what God's directed my heart and where God's put me still alive and well and going today. Now imagine he'd say, "All the suffering's been worth it, and thank you, Lord, for bringing me through with it."
I can see him look and say, "Well, sure, I'm glad that man did that for me.
Lord, I'm glad that he did that for me."
"But sir, is there anything else you want to tell me about these stones?" He said, "Oh, yeah. God's got a message." He said, "What do you mean by a message?" He said, "You see, Moses went there before Pharaoh all the time. They can copy all of those other plagues. But there was one they never could duplicate. He said God gave us a plan to get out of Egypt that night. And here's what he said he'd do. He said to go over and find you a lamb without blemish in the first year. Put him up for 14 days, inspect him. And then we're going to sacrifice him. And what we're going to do is sacrifice him. We're going to take the blood and apply it to the top of the doorpost at each side. And the Bible says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the death angel won't come upon you." And he said, "All that night, I'm telling you, it was a fretful and it was a hard night, but I'll never forget it as long as I live." He said, "I remember I just had a little baby boy that was just born, and boy, I'm telling you, he was the most precious thing in my sight." Let me see a little kid say, "Sir, what happened?" He said, "I remember I got up first thing in that morning. Boy, we killed the lamb, and we put the blood in the basin, and we put it on each side of the doorpost right there." And he said, "I just knew that God was going to provide and get us through, but I went through a little doubt." And he said, "About every 2 hours, I went back and I checked that doorpost, and the blood was still there. And I went back and checked it again, and the blood was still there. And I went back and checked it again, and the blood was still there." He said, "About 12 o'clock at night," he said, "about 11:30, I got real tired and I fell asleep." He said, "I just knew in my mind that a new day had come, and I had to make sure what he said would work for work." He said, "So I got up and I had that little brawling baby boy over there, and I went and shook him and said, 'Son, wake up, son, wake up.' He said, I didn't know if he was going to be dead or alive, but he said, 'The Lord woke up and you heard me, oh man, Can I say today that the blood still saved? How God's plan way back then is the same plan God's got today. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But I'm glad it wasn't by the blood of bulls and goats, but it was by our darling Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who entered in the holy place one time, didn't have to do it no more, who went up on Calvary. He took a beating, he took a bashing, and they buried him. And guess what he did? He popped back up out of that grave. And on that third getting up morning, he was seen walking around Jerusalem. He is sitting back in the heaven. And my friend, I got good news. He's a coming back one day. You say, why is that? Because of the blood that saved me and you."
Yeah.
We want to get to heaven all sorts of ways. You just, I want to go to Israel. I'd love to see the Kidron Valley. I would love to see over there where Armageddon's going to be fought. But if I'm going to waste $7,000, $8,000, whatever it costs to go now, I don't have to go over there by that tomb in me. I can tell you that by not going. I can tell you that he's not there. I don't have to go over there and straighten my doctrine out. I can tell you that I don't have to do that. Why is that? Because God wrote it down. Hey, we believe it. And the blood's what saved me. God of my
hour. I believe that man's voice kind of got a little sadder and said, "I had a friend who
was kind of lazy and always putting it off. He said he thought he could kind of do it when he wanted. He didn't really think God meant that day or that particular way, so he'd do it a different way. And he said, so that particular night he fell asleep, and he said, oh, I'll do it in the morning, honey. I don't feel like dealing with you right now. She said, all right, do what you want to do. Said that bride, that clock ticked 12:01, that man jumped up. Said, oh my goodness, I hope I hadn't made a mistake. Hope I hadn't made a mistake. And said, my word, she kept a boy. Wake up, son! Wake up! Wake up! Since it's on part of the offense, 10:11 in the first year. And it amazes me if you may get these youth rallies to see this. I see all of these parents giving these kids everything. I mean, they come to these youth rallies, they got gifts and assholes, and I'm not against those things. They know all kinds of stuff about this and about that and about this and about that, and their parents have been sitting on the church pew for years and know nothing. There's something I want to leave to my kids this season. Yes, do they have an iPod? Yes, they got there right down the road. Do they have one of those game boys? Yes, they got. I still can't figure out how to play this silly thing. I know. Once they did away with the Atari video games, done away with the thing. I don't understand. But I have one joystick and one button, it just got one bar to move. It's 5 or 6 different buttons. There's one thing I want to leave to my kids. Your son, daddy may not have a lot. Daddy may not be a lot. Daddy's got one thing. Daddy's got the Lord on his side.
Amen.
The only thing you'll ever know, boy, those games will do you no good. Those friends may not do you no good. But the Lord will always do you good. And you'll see God show up and do something big right there. I remember that youth rally back last couple years ago and more. That little girl said, right here where you're sitting. I'll never forget that little girl's death moment. Some of y'all may remember. She jumped up and said this. When I was a kid, she said my mama was hooked on heroin and on dope. She said, and so in order for my mama to get dope, she traded me off, and I don't have to go into great detail. And she said, and I remember as a little kid, I'd go to school, and my hair was oily, and my clothes were nasty, and the kids would make fun of me, and I just wanted to kill myself. She said, well, luckily, one day the state came and took me, and I got put in that group home in foster home. She said, no church, much room God. By the way, if you don't think bus kids can stay in church, then it's a waste of time right there for bus kids. And he said, old church, let's just get together. The old church bus brought me to church. He said, I met a man named Jesus, and he never done me wrong. And I found that he gave me all the happiness I could ever want. And she said, but I want to thank God because now God allowed me to be adopted by this family. And I just want to thank God for this. And I'll never forget what you thank God for. I would have personally thought, thank God that I now got all these clothes and all these material things. She said, I want to thank God that when I go home tonight, I got a safe place to live and a shower. And we get so caught up in everything. Listen, I'm not for not giving your kids things. I say give your kids things. Love your kids. I'm not for it. But never shortchange it. Not give it.
Amen.
Amen. Like I said last point tonight. He says, is there anything else? He said, oh yeah. He said, you mean the blood can save me? He said, oh yeah. You mean that God's still calling me? And he said, oh yeah. He said, what is it? He said, God's always got a maneuver. He got a plan for us. He said, well, what was the plan? He said, well, to be honest with you, we kind of bucked against God and we wanted to go through the wilderness because we thought that would be the way to go through the land of the Philistines, but God knew we wasn't ready for a battle, so he brought us through the desert right there and took us in front of the Red Sea. Now, I realize at this point in this story, this is not a Baptist church anymore. Because here's what happened. Moses looked back and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And nobody was there. I mean, what would that have been a Baptist mean? We had a bunch of people out there swimming with around their sails. You can imagine it's all Egypt behind them. And Moses is saying, stand still and let us see what God will do. That's the hardest part of the Christian life, is waiting for God to direct you in a certain way.
Right?
God gave him a plan. And he said this. He said, take that big old rock you got in hand and smite the water. And you're getting ready to walk across the Red Sea. I can see Moses holds that rod. Pow! his face straight up in the air. And here the children of Israel come walking across the dry land. But I've always thought, and I'll be honest with you, I got some old redneck theology on this, but and that'll be all right. And I can almost see this happening here. The children are going across one by one by one by one by one. I can almost see them when they get on the other side hollering back, saying, boys, you ain't gonna believe how good it is over here. It's all God has promised us. Don't quit. Just keep coming. Just keep doing. Just keep going on for God. And I say, hey, my friend, hey, don't quit whatever you're doing for the Lord. Keep coming. Keep running. Keep going on for God. And one day I'm telling you, God will reward you. And he's saying, keep on coming. It's good over here. It's wonderful over here. Just keep a coming. Now, I don't know this to be true, but I know in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, seeing we're surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. I don't know what goes on in heaven, but I think every now and again, God pulls the veil back, allows my grandma to look down, some one loved one that's gone before me to look down, they say something like this, preach, boy, preach. Hey, just keep going for God. It's a whole lot better over here. Just keep going, and don't quit, and you're going to enjoy what you got when you get here.
Amen.
Had no way. Looked like it was hopeless. Looked like it was helpless. And there God made a way for him. A couple months ago, we went to us on Father's Day. After an issue at the church, and I knew I was going to leave there, and there we were living in the parsonage. Sitting up there, not knowing where we're going to move, not knowing where we're going to live. I'm in the back of my mind thinking, we're home. And I'll never forget that Saturday night before that Sunday is going to be my last day. I walked outside and I went out there, and I'll be honest, I was kind of hoping, all right. I think, God, how are you going to make a way? I mean, Lord, look at it. It's hopeless. It's helpless. God, I've served you. God, I've done everything you've asked me to do, and you've hung me out to dry. God, why did you even bring me here? Well, then I started remembering something about them old timers, how they said, when you get in a situation, start praising the Lord. So speedily, my mind starts going back to the day Jalen walked down the aisle and got saved there, and the day that my sister-in-law walked down the aisle and got saved there, and the day that her brother went to youth camp. I mean, I'm talking about a boy had hair down to back about right here, looked like a demoniac of Gadara over there. I mean, he was dabbling in demonicism. Everybody said he went too far. Give up on him. That night I preached on hell. That boy slipped down the altar and got born again. And if you see him today, the earrings are gone. I mean, the hair is being cut. He looks like a normal old boy right now. I got an opinion about that. I got an opinion about one God has helped and blessed and God on fire for the Lord. I was throwing my hands up out there, thanking God for everything he had done for me. How good he had been to me. Saying, Lord, I know, and it may not be your will for me to be able to go another mile. I sure am thankful you let me go this far.
Amen.
12 o'clock. Trouble around me. The phone rings. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't jumping and cutting back for this. Kristen said, you got a phone call. I walked down the house. I can't take no more, Lord. What can this be? Man, he didn't go to church. He's got me into what was going on. He said, Brother Jeff, how are you? He said, don't get up. He said, I just want to tell you something. He said, we've been praying here tonight. God's laid something on my heart. I said, what's that? He said, you're going to be moving in a few days. I said, yes. He said, well, God wants me to tell you. He said, we're taking up your first month's rent and your security deposit. Where do you want to move from? If you want to have we're going to make sure you don't feel homeless. We love you and we love them boys and you're not going to have to walk for anything. I said, well, my soul. I said, are you sure, sir? You don't have to do that. He said, oh, no, God placed upon my heart. Let me tell you, it looked hopeless that night. It looked helpless that night. It looked dreaded. I didn't know what I was going to get through. But God had a plan up there in heaven that night. He said he may go through a little tough time and he may go through a little hard time, but I'm going to deliver him and get him through these times. And everything's going to look back and finally going to start making a little sense to him. Tonight, I encourage you to do anything. Don't. Thank you, Lord God, for how good you've been to us. Thank you, Lord God, for the good liberty to preach tonight, Lord. Lord, you know I couldn't have done it upon my own. Lord God, I had to do it with you. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord God, there may be somebody start laying, Lord God, some memorials in their life.
I mean, Lord, they may lay a memorial down, Lord God, tonight of how God brought them through this and God brought them through that. I mean, we heard testimonies tonight of how God brought one through cancer and how God had been good to this one and God had been good to that one. Lord, I thank you tonight where I can just say one thing. For this I know, as David said, God is for me in Psalm 55. God, that's great to know tonight. And if you're saved, God's for you. And Lord, I pray if there be one in here tonight who does not know the Lord, that Lord God, you'd move upon their heart. God, just save them from a devil's hell. And that, Lord, you do a work in their life. Thank you, Lord God, for saving me. Thank you, Lord God, for calling me. Now have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Brother Frank, you come on. You close the service however God's leading you to close it.
Would you bow your heads, please, for a moment of prayer. Thank God for the message tonight. Miss Joanne, would you play Only Believe? All things are possible. Some of you are facing some trials in your life. You wonder if the sun will ever shine again. I felt like what Brother Jeff was preaching about oftentimes, that backside of the desert. The old devil will slip up at you and he'll say, do you reckon anybody really cares? You reckon anybody really cares whether or not? My friend, tonight, Jesus does care. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows our deepest need. He knows when your heart is about to break in two. Maybe tonight you'd like to slip out and you say, oh God, I've come this far by faith and I'll continue that journey till that day and when I hear you call my name. Well done, thou faithful servant. Maybe tonight there's difficulties you're facing. Maybe you don't know where the next rent payment's going to come from. There's a God in heaven that does. This present suffering is not to be even compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul could say, I count it all but loss for the excellency of Christ. Paul knew what it was to suffer. He knew what it was to abound. But he said, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Heavenly Father, I pray, take the message, speak to every heart. That one tonight that's going through difficulty. That one tonight that's just about ready to throw the towel in. About ready just to quit. They've questioned whether or not in the darkest hour, if you're there, I pray God encourage them. In Jesus' name, stand to your feet, please. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only only believe, only believe, all things possible, only believe. One more time, sing it. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe.
See if you can follow me, Joanne. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be true, have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be his to his faithful cause than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. Have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He never said the journey would be easy, but he said, I would go with you and give grace for every step of the way. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. What a blessing. Amen. Y'all pray for this family, would you? Pray that God would have his hand upon him, direct him, use him. I know that he will. There are bumps in the road. I'll be honest with you. Every time you preach, there's not going to be everybody that's like what you say. I've sat in a deacon's meeting and have them to chew me up, not here. Chew me up and spit me out. Told Joanne as I was leaving today, 10 years ago, I had just about resigned the fact that I would not pastor again. 10 years ago, I said to myself, it's not worth it. It's not worth the heartache, the pain. But God had a different plan. God had a different journey. So you pray for Brother Jeff. I know there's some difficult days, but there can be joy in the journey. Amen. There's the peace of God that passes all understanding. Well, Brother, would you and your family go to the door, and as they go out, shake their hand, tell them you